Blog Talk Radio.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Tonight. I'm your host, Todd, the True Goofy, and, of course, I will be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. R.C. Rizza. Of course, we have another great show planned for you. I do apologize for missing last week, but that was obviously a holiday weekend, and I was out of town and unable to do the podcast on the holiday weekend. So hopefully, in that big, bad week before the playoffs, you all we're able to, improve your situation. This week, of course, the last week before the playoffs, we're going to be covering a lot focused on making sure we get you into the playoffs. And I have a lot of examples of my own where I'm barely going to be in. We'll focus on some of those, take a look at those, and try to hopefully get those to work across all leagues. I do want to take a moment. I'm a little down today as we had just another wacky shooting, this time a lot closer to home in San Bernardino, California, as I'm here in Las Vegas. I drive through San Bernardino all the time when I go to California. So it's hitting a little hard. I'm getting a little bit tired of all these shootings that just seem to be popping up constantly now over the last, say, 7 years. We've had just a colossal number of shootings and RC, I don't understand what's going on in the world anymore where everybody is just shooting everybody. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? What, everyone is just shooting.
Watching the news. Yeah.
I don't think it's the case where there's any more, gun-related violence. It's just that the reporting is more hypersensitive.
There's a lot more shootings now. I mean, if you go back to the Bush era, you go back to the Clinton era, you go back to the Reagan era. I mean, I remember the McDonald's shootout that occurred in the 80s where a guy walked into McDonald's and shot at McDonald's. And that was so rare that that happened. Now it happens, we've had two this week. So I do think it has a lot to do with all the political infighting. I think it has a lot to do with terrorism. And I also think it has a lot to do with the government just hell-bent on taking away guns. I mean, and it just keeps on happening. Can't stop it.
Yeah, but I don't know the circumstances of the one that you're referring to, but like we've discussed, a lot of these really the predominant factor seems to be that whoever is the idiot that basically perpetrates this stuff is usually on some kind of mind-altering drug, some kind of designer pharmaceutical that's supposed to be regulating their, schizophrenia or something like that. And that's like a common theme running through many of these shootings, but that never really gets brought up, which it should, obviously, but and if you try to trace back, really, if what you're saying is true, where it's not just hypersensitivity in the media, and it really can be like traced back to some recent point of time, these are basically recent introductions, all these different pharmaceuticals are recent introductions. And they're certainly being prescribed far more often than they should be. But that seems to be the common theme that runs through a lot of these shootings.
Oh, no doubt at all. That is definitely one of the common themes. And we've talked about that before, that impact on it. But you know what? There's also the side of it.
It should also be brought up that in any area where they have the most restrictive gun laws, are the areas where you see a rapid ascension of gun-related violence. So gun legislation does not prevent gun violence. It simply does not. As a matter of fact, it has the opposite effect.
Absolutely, you're right. Like that's going on.
By the way, if you want to look up the veracity of that, look up Chicago and Washington D.C. and it's very clear.
Well, I'm going to mention that about Chicago, where Raul Emanuel, whatever his name is, runs that city, and they have the tightest gun laws in the country, and they have more gun violence than just about anybody. So, no, it doesn't help. And you know, and I just get angry when, as soon as one of these things happens, the first thing our president says or the first thing Hillary Clinton says is, you know, we need more gun laws. And I'm just like, no, we don't. We need a government that isn't, you know, conspiring to kill its own people. That's what we need. You know, we need a government that isn't, you know, putting up events that are causing these terrorists, because this one seems to be, you know, leaning towards terrorism. So I don't know. I want to get into fantasy football because I don't want to depress our listening audience, what's left of it, because it's near the end of the season. You know how the numbers dwindle as people's fantasy hopes dwindle. But I think there's a lot more to be said for all of these shootings that have occurred. RC, you know how I feel about it. I don't want to get too much into it because, you know, I know people think that when you say conspiracy that it's evil, but it's actually a term, you know, to mean going against what has been told. And, you know, and then there are the theory part of it. And there's a lot of theories. There's a theory that, you know, a guy walked into a school for no reason whatsoever, shot 20 first graders, and did it with absolute sniper precision. And then, and he did this carrying all this gear on his 110-pound frame, and then managed to kill himself, and that's all that happened. We just believe it. We just believe everything we're told. So I don't really believe anything Fox or CNN or MSNBC tells me anymore. I just kind of try to live every day and try to make sure that I'm not involved in any of that melee. All right, RC, we'll talk more about that later on a personal note. You know, we've had those conversations, those 55-hour-long conversations before, right?
the ones where your wife locks you, I guess, in the house and leaves you for 4 days.
Yeah, pretty much. And she leaves and I'm talking to RC, and she comes home and I'm talking to RC. That's how it works. All right, let's get on to what's important now, and hopefully we can stay focused after, you know, all these strategies. But you know, people are still wanting to play fantasy football and still loving it. So here's the dealio. This is the last week, RC. Last week before the playoffs, in most every league, in most every weekly league or yearly league, whatever you want to call them, this is your final shot at making the playoffs. Maybe you have one more week if you're in one of those leagues where they only have a 2-week playoff system. So if you have 2 weeks, great, this will still be helpful, but this is where you got to change your strategy. I've said this every year. I said, okay, when you get to the bare knuckle brass balls of it all, now you have to win. And especially if you're on one of those fringes. And I'm on the fringe, and I know you probably are too, and I want you to tell me some of your situations as well. But basically, a lot of people are probably on the fringe because of all the colossal injuries. In fact, every league that I'm in, you know, normally you have like a couple of those 10-2 teams at this point, maybe an 11-1 team. But in all the leagues I'm in, those are far and few between. And then you have a lot of 9-3 teams. You know, you have a good separation. I'm looking right now at Blog Talk number one, one of our main Blog Talk leagues. This is the league I didn't even make the draft, which was just my pure and simple stupidity. And my team is 4-8. I'm out of it in this league, so one of our big guys is going to win. But we got one 10-2 team and one 9-3 team. And then after that, it's a big pile. I mean, I think there's one 8-4 team. And this is a 14-team league, by the way. And out of the 14 teams, and all the rest of the teams are 6-6, 5-7, all battling in that corner. And I think there's a lot of people are seeing, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, who are really in that 6-6, 5-7, 7-5 area because of just the plethora of injuries that have gone on. Where do you stand, and are you seeing the same thing? I mean, you're in every league I'm in, so you're seeing what I'm seeing. But are you seeing the same thing where you see so many teams still to this last week? I mean, you know, just a group of teams battling for one or two playoff spots?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, you know, it's there's basically two formats, and I don't know which one you prefer, but you know, the format where, you know, it's a typical 12-team league and then you've got eight that make the playoffs, that one's pretty generous, right? So to not make the playoffs, you had to have, you know, some bad injuries or a bad draft or not being paying attention for, you know, 2 months or whatever what was the case. I have seen in that format where, you know, generally there could be like a 8 seed that just kind of squeaks in week 13 and ends up, you know, winning the whole thing. And then there's the other format, which you definitely have this in the Vegas League, I guess, where you've got only 6 out of 12 that make it, and then you've got the 2 byes, and then, you know, the 4 teams that will fight it out in week 14, and then you go on from there. In the teams where you've got the only 6 that make it, you know, you need a lot of help to really make it in there. But in those leagues where you've got 8 of the 12, really anything can happen. I've seen situations where you could be 4-8, and mathematically and even realistically, there's a chance that you can sneak in there at the number 8 seed. And, you know, and end up winning, you know, if because, you know, the one thing to remember, you can't ever give up, because really, like we saw last week, there was a number, I actually had probably the best week of the season that I personally had out of, you know, my 18 leagues. And the reason why was guys like Sammy Watkins finally did something. Matthew Stafford finally did something. And there was, Calvin Johnson. You know, that's a guy that, you know, was drafted. I drafted him quite high in wherever I got him. Obviously, that's where you have to draft him. He finally did something. But you know, more often than not, this year he's been, you know, maybe 6 catches for 80 yards, and really that's it. And that, you know, if you spend a second-round pick on a receiver and that's all you're getting, that ain't gonna get it done for you. So, but remember that, you know, that group of players that you were so high on, you could turn out to be right down the stretch. I mean, you know, as a parallel to, you know, the regular NFL, remember that season that the Giants put together where they just started off atrociously, and then basically towards the end of the season they put together a streak and then they ended up winning the Super Bowl. Same thing happens in fantasy where, you know, you got a group of guys that you were high on, really haven't, you know, just been kind of muddling around all year. And then all of a sudden, you know, they basically get hot at the right time. You know, one guy that I wish I held on to, I think I did kind of in half the leagues and half I did not, was, you know, a player like David Johnson could really make a big difference for you. So certainly, if you were in a dynasty league, you're more apt to hold on to him. But now going into this week, if he's still available, you know, and you need running back help, this is the kind of guy that can really make a difference for you. And if you were, you know, patient enough to hold on to him, you know, this is a guy that you're going to want to put in your lineup this week and see how far you can ride with him. But you know, those subtle changes like that could make a difference down the stretch.
Absolutely, and that's what people hopefully are gauging. Because I mean, this week, I mean, we have more injuries. I mean, it looks like, you know, guys like Rob Gronkowski, who's a critical component to anybody's team, because he's obviously either a number one or number two draft pick, first or second round draft pick for you. And David Johnson was a great one. I actually picked him up last week in one of the one of my tougher expert leagues. I think it was the Riders League, the only league I'm not in with you. I could double check that. Is either that or is in the Mike Wars League, which I'm in with you. Let me just double check that really quickly. And that was a great pickup because I picked him up merely out of desperation because of injuries. And then, of course, and he had been obviously putting up some numbers. And was it that? Yeah, it was that league. And getting a guy like that in a 14 team, or it might be a 16 team. No, I think it's 14 team. You know, expert league. This is the Evan Silva Riders League. To get a guy like that, you know, I mean, I haven't clinched a playoff spot, but I mean, it's just merely mathematics at this point. I mean, I don't know how I don't clinch a playoff spot in this league. I'm 8-4 in a 14-team league and 16 playoffs. Clearly, I'm going to make the playoffs. It's just, you know, mathematically, you know, since you know how it works. And I guess technically somebody could put up 300 points in a win and I can lose and they'll pass me. But either way, assuming that doesn't happen, this is a great pickup for me going into the playoff run and making some noise in this league, which has been a very, very competitive league. So, you know, and getting guys like, you know, there's Seth Roberts over there in Oakland who's heating up a little bit. And, you know, in the leagues where wide receivers are minuscule, to say the least, because of injuries, he's a great guy to pick up. So they're going to be, you know, and then, of course, looking at Scott Chandler for the New England Patriots, assuming that Gronkowski's not going to play. And I'm telling you right now, I do not believe you will see Rob Gronkowski on the field for week 13 of the NFL season. He will not be there. So if you have him on your roster, you need to think now of what you're going to do without him. And hopefully you're able to pick up a Chandler. And in fact, I would be worried about having Tom Brady at this point. You know, and there's two quarterbacks, actually, I'm going to mention right now off the game. Actually, I'll mention three. I want your take on these three quarterbacks for danger Will Robinson, danger for this week. Number one being Tom Brady. You know, I mean, I know Brady, you know, obviously, you know, is a great quarterback, and he's going against Philadelphia, and I believe this game is going to be in New England, so he'll be at home, but he's going to be without Gronkowski. Obviously, he's got Edelman. Amendola's out. You know, he's basically down to a bunch of backup wide receivers and Brandon LaFell. And then, of course, in the backfield, he has White, Bolden, and Blunt. And then the other two quarterbacks I want you to talk about are Kirk Cousins. I mean, a lot of people have been dependent on this guy just for fantasy garbage at best. But he's going up against Dallas. That game is going to be in Dallas. Or, no, that game is in Washington. Sorry, that game will be in Washington for him. But I want to get your take on – Because you know, people think, well, if I can't start, you know, say Phillip Rivers, there's my third one, going, he's going to be at Denver, or excuse me, at San Diego, facing Denver. You know, do you go with a Kirk Cousins as a backup? I mean, you got Matt Hasselbeck as a guy who's been really good, you know, got a guy to slot in there for one of your back quarterbacks, and he's going to be at Pittsburgh. You know, depending on the weather, that could be a great matchup for Matt Hasselbeck. So where do you go? Do you think Cousins, Brady, and Rivers are just guys that maybe this is where you got to think differently. It's not about your studs anymore. It's about winning. And this is what I said. This is the week, really last week too. But, you know, if you're not already secured a playoff spot, you've got to out-coach your other opponent. What do you do? Let's just start with those three players, RC. Do you change any of them?
You know, I think in the case of Tom Brady, they still have something to play for. The Philadelphia Eagles defense has just been basically falling apart. So that to me is a no-brainer. You stick with Tom Brady. This isn't week 17 where, you know, they're basically, 13 and 14 and 1, and they don't need the last game, you know, because Cincinnati, you know, has lost a couple more games. You know, this right here is still critical for them to secure home field advantage. So I wouldn't worry about starting him. Kirk Cousins, I don't want to start against anybody unless I'm desperate. I certainly, you know, there are some situations where, you know, you needed, you know, say you had Joe Flacco and Andrew Luck, and now you've got Kirk Cousins, and yeah, sure, you know, stick with him. He doesn't have a terrible matchup against Dallas. And, the other guy you were saying was Phillip Rivers against Denver?
He's going to be at home against the Denver Bronco defense, the same defense that just, you know, even though it was in the snow, a little bit of snow, kind of pulverized Tom Brady. I mean, here's the reason I bring up Phillip Rivers, and I like Tom Brady. I agree with you on Tom Brady. You got to go with Brady. But, I bring these guys up because these are some of the questions that have been brought to my attention, too. But Phillip Rivers, he's been one of those guys who have really carried fantasy teams. If you look at the teams that Phillip Rivers is on, these are teams that obviously waited. I have him on two teams. I'm going to full disclosure. In fact, I believe I have him on Blog Talk Radio 2 League, one of the league-hosted teams. And he kind of has carried teams because of his garbage time passing, because of the fact that San Diego really doesn't have much of a defense, so they're always in pass mode. And so he's really put up really good games. He's had a few bad games, but he's really put up good points. So the question now becomes is, can you go with the guy who's carried your team when he's going up against a team that has one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best? I personally feel they're the best defense, especially if DeMarcus Ware is going to be back in that lineup. I think he was out for the Patriots game, so hopefully he'll be back this week. But do you take that chance? Or do you say go with the backup? Like, I have the choice between Rivers and Carr. But let me throw that at you. I already know who I'm going with. He's already in the lineup. Who would you go with? Carr's going against Kansas City in Oakland.
I'm going with Carr. Well, you and I both love Carr, and I think he's proven that he's, you know, he's not the equivalent to Philip Rivers in terms of, you know, wisdom and playing experience, and but certainly fantasy wise, he's definitely been worthy of sticking in your lineup and trusting him. You know, he in the recent 8 weeks, maybe he's had one. I think the week before last, he had a subpar game, but more often than not, he's been coming through with around 300 yards or over, three touchdowns in many cases, at least two. And, you know, what's really encouraging about Carr is, by the way, I'm not picking up Seth Roberts, and maybe that's wrong, but I just don't think that he's all that talented a player. I think the reason for his success is Derek Carr and the fact that, you know, the scheme for the defense was to take out, you know, maybe his top two receivers as best they could. And Derek Carr is just smart enough to hit the other guys. And the other guys have been Andre Holmes some weeks. Good luck guessing what week that's going to be. And Seth Roberts most recently. And good luck trusting him going forward. You know, while you can trust Derek Carr, you can't trust their receivers except for, in obvious order, Amari Cooper and then Crabtree. And that's it. Don't even waste your time with the tight ends or those two secondary guys. The fact that he's got them helps Derek Carr's value. And then conversely, I mean, when you look at Philip Rivers, I mean, he's lost his best receiver. The guys that he has left are all banged up. Great quarterback, terrible matchup. For me, this would be a really easy decision to go with Derek Carr.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you know, and that's been the bad thing about Philip Rivers. And really, for people who are, you know, that are depending on him in their fantasy playoff scheme, you know, he's really going to be he's going to hurt you. And I let him out huge. I mean, last year we had the whole argument and the whole bet would he get the 37 TDs because I just thought he was just so disrespected in the drafts. And then this year, same thing pretty much happened. He was disrespected in the drafts. And he carried a lot of teams, but this is a guy who's going to kill your team in the playoffs because, I mean, and it doesn't really even really matter as much to the matchups that he has. Number one, you know, he's going to be dealing with some weather issues. I mean, if he has to be, I don't know. I don't have his remainder of his schedule up in front of me. Do you have the Chargers schedule by any chance handy?
Yes, I can get that pretty easily.
Yeah. I'm going to grab it. So I know he has Denver this week, and that's just, that's what I'm kind of looking for. I know they have not played Kansas City twice. So I'm just trying to remember if they have Kansas City at home or if they have Kansas City on the road. So that's going to be a killer. Go ahead.
Yeah, they've got them on the road next week. So this week it's obviously Denver. I'm seeing in San Diego. So at home versus Denver, then at the Chiefs. Then at home against Miami, that's no big deal. So, you know, week 15, you're going to be fine. And then 16 at Oakland, that's not a problem either. But this week,
I'm going to be honest with you. I think the at Oakland is going to be a problem. And I'll tell you why. Because Oakland, you know, this is a rivalry match. These guys do not like each other. It's a SoCal rivalry match, Southern California. Well, I mean, I guess technically Oakland's in Northern California. But it's just a California matchup. I don't think that's a pretty match at all. And luckily they played Denver week 17 at Denver, mind you. So he got away with, you know, they got away with one. I don't like that schedule coming up.
I may not be remembering this correctly, but in general, I think that Oakland-San Diego game is usually high scoring. You know, maybe you're right that this year it's different, or maybe I'm just wrong about that general trend, but that wouldn't scare me to use Philip Rivers if you had to, but this week against Denver, just way too risky.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I just don't like, you know, the fact that he has all those rivalry matches, except for Miami, all those divisional games. Because divisional games tend to be brutal, especially if people are fighting for said division. which obviously I think Denver pretty much has that one in the bank because of this, the poor play of this that division. But or actually, they don't because I know Kansas City's been really hot. So now, does how hot Kansas City is coming into this game, does that make you fear using David Carr in the situation against Kansas City? Because it is going to be – that game is in Kansas City. So, I swear to gosh, I'm so screwed up on my home away charts. But I believe that game is in Kansas City. So whether – it is at Oakland. Thank God. Okay, so it's at Oakland. So whether or not shouldn't be too much of a factor. But does it scare you on how just hot and how stifling that Kansas City defense has been over the last several weeks? I believe they won like six in a row, and it's been, you know, in part with their defense.
Yeah, no doubt. It's not an easy matchup by any stretch, but, I know that Derek Carr has basically played well against some tough defenses. I know he tore apart the Jets pretty well, and that was a week where they had Revis and I believe Calvin Pryor as well. So I think he's not matchup proof, but the matchup versus Denver, you know, is basically the toughest, you know, and it's been pretty obvious, so the toughest matchup for opposing quarterbacks. They've only given up 11 touchdowns to quarterbacks all year. Kansas City, like you're saying, is trending upwards, but they've given up almost twice the amount of touchdowns to quarterbacks at 20. So, you know, for me, it's still really no comparison. I'm going with Carr.
Excellent. All right, well, let's talk about some other situations that have come up. And I'll bring up, here's a fantastic situation, and I want to get your take on it. You know, I'm in the Block Talk Radio 2 League, which I struggled in, again, because I always struggle against, and I just cannot believe I can't just simply get to it. It's amazing how I keep clicking buttons, and it takes me elsewhere. So this is one of those leagues. We're going to talk about your team, too, in this league as well, and this is what the guys like. And by the way, let's let you guys know, I met Justin, one of our listeners, a couple weeks ago, and I was going to talk about it last week. Great kid, young guy, really into his fantasy sports. And he basically, if I remember correctly, basically just, you know, were his source to his losing, were the source to his losing. And I'm kidding. Yeah. He does fine with us. And he's one of our loyal listeners for the past 3 years. And, he almost looks like Tom Brady. He looks like a younger version of Tom Brady. Real nice kid. And I had a fun time meeting with him. And anytime any of you guys come to Vegas and you guys want to, I'm going to use egotistical here. If you guys want to sit down with the true guru, I'll be more than happy to meet up. It is a city that people visit. Are you aware of that, RC, that people visit Las Vegas? Are you in tune with that?
Yeah, I've heard that it's a relatively popular tourist destination. Yep.
We do appreciate the visit, so if you ever want to stop by. All right, so in the Blog Talk Radio 2 League, this was a league where I had just one of those brutal starts. Of course, like everybody else, there's no excuse. Not like, you know, in the old days where you could say, like last year, we say, okay, I give up. I had too many injuries. No, everybody has injuries. So if you're suffering. But in this league, I'm actually 5-7. And it's one of those situations where all I have to do is it's one of the 8-team leagues. And by the way, you asked me which playoff format I prefer. I prefer the 6-1. You know, I don't think, especially in a 12-team league. If it's a 14-team league, 8. Or if it's a 12-team league, I like the 6 with 2 byes because, I don't think more than half the league should be playoffs. And I always said, you know, you play 13 games to eliminate 6 teams, and then you play 3 games to eliminate 5 teams, and you get down to 1 team. I think that's fair. But in these fun leagues where it's basically, a bunch of our listeners, I made them 18 playoff teams, playoff leagues where, so a lot of people, so we only eliminate 4. And then 8 guys get to go head-to-head against each other, no bye week. So in this league, I'm actually 5-7, and I have the chance to make the playoffs. This is one of the ones where, number one, I'm not going to lie. I was outdrafted to some degree in this league. And I don't remember all the players I've lost because they're not on my roster anymore. I'm not going to pull up the draft. I don't really care about that. But here's, I have two great choices I have to make. To win, I'm playing against the Omaha Ice Cubes. He's been in one of these leagues forever. He's 7-5, so he has the exact opposite record of me. According to the Yahoo predictions, our teams are fairly even in the projections, but I throw out projections any day of the week. So here's my roster, and I want you to tell me, RC, who you now, based on the rosters, and you can look at it yourself if you want to pull it up. But I mean, I got a, you know, I got my standard, you know, status quo awesome wide receivers, Landry, Green, and Dez Bryant. That was one of the guys that I lost for a while. I got Doug Martin and Rowles, you know, the, I'm blanking on his first name. Is it Travis Rowles? Did I get that right? Thomas Rowles. There you go. You know, the young running back taking over for Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. Antonio Gates. I got Ted Ginn Jr. And, of course, you know, the Denver defense and Lambeau as my kicker. So let me ask, here are the two choices I got to make. Obviously, I already decided with Carr over Phillip Rivers, and I also have Kirk Cousins on that team. So I'm going with Carr in that situation. But I wanted to ask you, do you like my starting of Ted Ginn Jr. against, you know, at New Orleans over guys like, he's in my flex position, and I got guys like Yeldon, Willie Snead, that's pretty much it, on my bench. And I guess you could say I have Richard Rodgers for the Green Bay as well on my bench. Or would you stick with Ginn Jr. against that vaunted New Orleans defense?
You know, I would. You also have T.J. Yeldon on your bench, and
he
doesn't have a great matchup against Tennessee, but I would play him over Ted Ginn. You know, yeah, New Orleans is a train wreck, and you know, but the thing with the Panthers, I don't know how Cam has been doing it, but he's really just proven that he's a rare, amazing player. But this receiving core is just beyond unrecognizable, and there is nobody that sticks out except for Greg Olsen. But it doesn't matter, you know. So Ted Ginn has been getting about, you know, 8 targets. He can be a drop machine. He can also, you know, be a guy that set, you know, salvages your day with a long reception. So you definitely could, that could definitely turn out to be a smart move. But I would probably, since this matchup is really so close for you, I would go with the guy that because, you know, with Ted Ginn, he 8 targets the last couple weeks. You know, he did score 2 weeks ago against Washington. Looks like he was shut out last week against Dallas, but he's had those weeks where he's had, you know, one catch for 20 yards, and that's happened 2 times in probably the last 7 weeks or so. Where T.J. Yeldon is, you know, he's the main guy. I think you're virtually assured of getting at least like 10 points. So where really the ceiling for Ted Ginn is. And he could do better. You know, Yeldon really hasn't scored that often. This could be one of the, you know, because he's involved in the passing game. You know, I could see 65 yards on the ground, 40 yards receiving, maybe a touchdown, and there you got, you know, like 14, 15 points. That's really the ceiling for Ted Ginn. You know, it's going to be, at best, he's going to be like 60 yards on a touchdown. But at worst, he's going to be 2 points. So Yeldon for me is like a range of like 10 to 16. Ginn is 2 to 16. I'm going to go with the guy that's 10 to 16, especially since this matchup for you looks really, really close. And you're not really playing for upside, not that Ted Ginn even has that. You really want probably your most reliable guys that are going to, you know, score in the correct range of at least 10 points.
Absolutely, and you know, and that's why you know, and I was considering Yeldon. I mean, I actually had Yeldon in my lineup, but I put Rawls in over him. Obviously, I think Rawls is a better option, especially with the, you know, with the matchup he had at Minnesota. I think, you know, I think he's easier effective. I have Doug Martin as my other running back. He's been outstanding, especially of late. I guess it's one of those strong teams. I mean, you know, Omaha Ice Cube has no joke here with Decker, Robinson, and Beckham. Clearly, he's one of our listeners because he has a strong wide receiving core. And then, you know, in his running back core is Stewart, Murray. That's Latavius Murray. And Clay. And then, of course, he has the venerable James Jones. So here's my question to you about James Jones. And I wanted to bring up James Jones because, I mean, this is like one of the like two leagues I don't own James Jones in. And, you know, I watch his matchups very carefully. And a few weeks ago, or last week when he played Minnesota, I told everybody, it's like, you know, start James Jones. I know he put up the horrible showing against Detroit with zero catches. And then so I tweeted out, this is a great week to start him. Trust me, he bounces back after bad weeks. That's why, it's, you know, he's kind of a, you know, a roller coaster sometimes with James Jones. And he did bounce back. He had, I believe, six catches on 11 targets for 190 yards and a touchdown. That's a great performance for your, you know, number 3-4 wide receiver, which is where he normally plays at. So now, welcome back Detroit. This time he's going to Detroit on turf, which I think is beneficial for any wide receiver, especially one with speed like Jones. He's going back to Detroit. He's coming off another goose eggs week that he had. So is this a guy, I mean, obviously Omar Ice Cubes has him in his lineup. Is this a guy, RC, that you start this week? I'm going to put thumbs up for him. Even though he put up a zero against Detroit 3 weeks ago, I like James Jones this week. What do you think?
You know I've never liked James Jones all this year. And, you know, basically you were correct about using him early in the season. He was really, really solid. And ever since his bye week, except for that 1 week against Minnesota, he's just been pretty much awful. Last week, six targets with no catches at all. You could be right where this is a bounce-back week for him. They certainly need him because Adams is just terrible. And, you know, Cobb seems to be still banged up. So, but I'm not touching him. I mean, there. You know, in his situation, he's got on his bench C.J. Anderson. I think he's crazy not to start C.J. Anderson. You know, the rest of his lineup is pretty solid. You know, Breeze, Decker, Robinson, Beckham, Stewart, Murray, Clay. Clay's, you know, he's kind of sucked as a tight end, but, you know, he could do worse there. But, yeah, the one mistake he's making here, as far as I can see, is that I really think with Osweiler is lent, you know, strangely enough, probably lent some stability to the Denver game plan where, you know, now I think defenses have to at least respect the possible throw downfield. It seems to have opened up the running game a bit. Anderson's been outplaying Hillman the last couple weeks. Last week, he had an incredible game. Of course, no one had him in their lineup, probably. But yeah, I'm going with Anderson over James Jones in this one.
Yeah, and this is a league, by the way. You've clinched a playoff spot. It looks like you have the sixth seed in it, and I do agree. And this is going to be a tough match for me to win. I mean, in order for me to win, I mean, thank God Drew Brees is going up against Carolina. I mean, that's going to be just a problem. I mean, Brees has problems going against weak defenses this year. I don't think he's going to have any luck, you know, against Carolina. I don't think you're going to see I think that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be on lockdown with Darrelle Revis. Do I think that means he's not going to do anything? Absolutely not. I just think I think you need to temper expectations. I don't think you'll see a multiple touchdown game, and nor do I think you'll see more than six catches in that game. You know, and then, of course, Stewart and Murray are just Stewart's a fine running back. He just doesn't get in the end zone a lot because of Cam Newton. And, of course, Murray has just been – I think he's just been awful this year. I just think that – and maybe it's part of the fact – the reason because he's on Oakland, you know, where they get buried and get behind a lot and they do a lot of passing. But he just hasn't been that good. I think Clay is, you know, an average tight end, nothing to be really scared about with him. And then, of course, you know, you have Jones, who's hit or miss, as we've spoken for. And then you have Gutowski and the New England defense, which I think is a great combo to have the New England kicker and the New England defense. And I think they'll be fine for this team. Now, the question is, I mean, obviously I'm going to be going with Denver at San Diego, but I do have the option, which is so odd because I would never do this, by the way. I would never put – I mean, it's funny. I have Philip Rivers against Denver with the Denver defense, and then I also have David Carr, and I also have the Kansas City defense. So would you stick with the – obviously I'm going with Carr, unless something crazy happens and I find somebody in the waiver wire that I think is just a better matchup. but right now it's Carr, so obviously I don't go with Kansas City defense. I mean, they're not the better option either way.
No, they're not. There are some situations where you want to kind of hedge your bet where, you know, if you're kind of forced to start a quarterback against a good defense and he's been, you know, like, say, like Matt Schaub, who leads the history books in pick sixes, and you're forced to start him against, you know, basically against your defense. In that case, that could hedge your bet a little bit. In your situation, you've got the top defense, one of the top defenses. You've got a good quarterback. I mean, I would just stick with the way you have it. The one thing I might consider changing, you know, I think if anyone does anything in this game, I think, first of all, if you win this game, it's going to come down to Breeze falling on his face, which is very possible against Carolina. Carr exceeding expectations, which I think he will. AJ Green having one of his possibly monster games. Bryant, I think, will be steady. You've definitely got to start him, even with Cassell in there. But I think you've got the edge with running backs. Rawls, you know, showed a couple of weeks ago that he has a tremendous upside. The one, and then I would put Yeldon in there. And then I might consider finding a different kicker, you know, just in case, maybe somebody that, you know, has a, you know, my rule with kickers is that, first of all, that they suck to put in your lineup, no matter who they are. I don't mind leagues actually without kickers, but in general, obviously it's more fluky than any position, but in general, you want a kicker on a team with a good defense. And you don't want a situation where they can potentially get blown out, which this could happen against Denver. But San Diego's defense is not good. So if any, you want a kicker with, you know, pretty good range, good accuracy, and that's on a good defense, a team with a good defense. And I don't think Lambeau really fits that description.
No, and in fact, I was actually going to cut Lambeau because of the matchup. That was like when I was going over team, I said Lambeau, but that was a guy I was going to move because I was going to pick up McManus, the Denver kicker. So I was going to go the opposite way because it's in San Diego, so you don't get the mile high effect. But I mean, last week it was snowing and raining in mile high, so I like McManus. I think that you know, Osweiler and that team is not going to have a problem moving the ball against San Diego. So I'll go ahead and I'll pick him up right now. I was going to take him to begin with. I just hadn't made that move. I agree with you. Kickers, you know, unless the last name is Bailey or Tucker or one of those elite kickers that just never miss and are always getting chances to kick long field goals, you really just, you have to pick and go with those guys every week. And I'm with you. I like to go with teams with good defense. I like to go with teams who can move the ball. And I like to go with indoor teams if possible. And because especially late in the season, you got to stay out of that weather problems. I mean, you know, you don't want it to be too cold. You don't want it to be too windy. That's the biggest problem is the wind. And you certainly don't want it to be wet. And so at this point, your loyalty to your kicker needs to go out the window. I've had Lambeau all year. He's been fantastic. I mean, I think he's been great for me as far as the kicker is concerned. You know, he's put up, you know, one, two, or three field goals every week. I mean, rarely has he had a week where he's done nothing. I don't think he's had any of those weeks where he's done absolutely nothing. So I like him, but yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to go with the Denver kicker merely because I don't think, I mean, just San Diego just has no defense. And also, here's a kicker. You want to get a team that kind of freezes up in the red zone. And, you know, in Denver, they have the rookie quarterback in there, only has about three starts under his belt, two or three starts under his belt. And then, of course, you have the running game, which has struggled. Did a lot better last week, primarily against a team that was wiped out and tired. And, you know, but I do like the fact that, you know, Denver can have drives that stall. So there's a good kicker for you, McManus. That's why I like Bailey. I mean, Bailey's on one of those teams where as soon as the Cowboys get near the 30, you know he can kick it from there. You know he can kick everything. He makes just about, I think he's missed one field goal all year. So you know he's pretty much going to make it for the most part. And that's a great kicker to have as well. And I did tell you, RC, I've always stressed it, that, you know, a lot of times you're going to win these games in the trenches. And in that matchup, we're going to move on to other matchups now, but in that matchup, you know, seeing that Gates versus Clay, Denver versus New England, and now McManus versus Gutowski, I mean, if the rest of the cards play out, and, you know, I mean, the matchup is already projected to be pretty even, so, and I think it's going to be a close match. I don't think this is going to be a blowout in any way, but those six players could end up dealing the victory for one of us. And I think I definitely have the advantage in all three positions, obviously, Gates over Clay, McManus, you know, Gutowski's got the advantage over him. He's one of the best kickers in the league. So you know, and that's another guy, Gutowski. If you have Gutowski, that's a different situation. But then, of course, I think Denver's a far superior defense, especially going up against Philadelphia, who can move the ball effectively. Anyhow, let's move on to some other players and matchups. Is there a league you would like to cover where you have a very, very, you know, where you're fighting for a playoff spot with one of your rosters?
Maybe the Pirates League. I'm not sure I'm in the playoffs yet. I've made a furious comeback from an absolutely horrendous start, and I'm now 6-6. But this is a league where the top eight make the playoffs. So, I'm actually on the. I could actually lose and get knocked out of the playoffs here, but here, let me see what the matchup is. This was a team where this was the only team I drafted CJ Anderson. The rest of the leagues I got him, I was able to pick him up because everyone just got fed up with him. And, you know, now that's not looking not so bad. But in this case, my decision is Stafford versus Dalton. I think I'm going with Dalton there. I've got Buck Allen, CJ Anderson, Langford, and McFadden. I also have Crowell and Gordon. I'm not going to start them. But out of those four running backs, Allen, Anderson, Langford, McFadden, who do you like?
Well, I think that McFadden is going to be a great start against Washington, especially with Castle in there. You know that they're going to go crazy. Are you saying Allen as one of them?
Yeah, Buck Allen, the guy from Baltimore.
Oh, the Baltimore guy. Okay. I mean, Baltimore is such a disaster with their running backs. It has been phenomenal just how bad they've actually been in that situation. You know, I'm going to say, and they're going up against, I just now saw who they're going up against. I just now saw that.
They are playing, it's not a tough match, it's Miami.
Miami, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, the question is now, is this, I see you have Gordon, and I see, I mean, you got to obviously push Correll aside. And what's the situation in Chicago? Is Langford going to start again? Is Forte still out?
No, I mean, going by what happened last week, and that of course is a fluid situation, but it looked like what they did there was essentially played them both almost equally. So, and that could be as Forte is getting back into game shape, but it could also be a semi. You know, maybe a permanent thing down the stretch where they're just going to mix both those guys in. So I'm a little bit wary of him. And, you know, this is also a league where we can start three running backs. So I'm kind of thinking Allen, Anderson, and McFadden, and maybe going with three wide receivers. My receivers are Cooks, Diggs, DeSean Jackson, Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson is questionable,
he's going to be fine, though. He's going to play. There's no doubt.
You think so? Yeah. So, my choice there is to bench one of these four guys: Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs. Diggs is playing Seattle. Cooks is at Carolina. Jackson's at Dallas. Johnson, you're kind of saying just leave him in until we know otherwise. But if I could bench one of those guys and then throw a third running back in there, once again, that would be Allen, Anderson, or McFadden. But, you know, I'm having a hard time figuring out who to bench among these guys. If anyone, it kind of seems like DeSean Jackson, since you really just never know what you're going to get out of him.
Well, the thing I'll say this. First of all, I mean, you're going to lose this game. If you do lose this game, you're going to lose it because of C.J. Anderson. I'm going to be totally honest. He's one of those team killers because he'll go out there and do nothing. And then you lose by 3 points. I think you should go with a two running back set and go with all your wide receivers. But the most dangerous wide receiver here for you that could cost you the game is Cooks. He's going up against Carolina. If you look at the past matchups between Carolina and Drew Brees, it doesn't fare well over the last couple of years for Brees. He tends to get hammered in those games. Does he get a touchdown now and then? Yes. And I'm a big Cooks owner. And if I have the option in any of my leagues to bench Cooks, I will. Just because it's way too risky. But I think in the leagues I have him in, I'm so stretched thin at wide receiver, I have to go with him. So the option you have here, definitely you got to go with Johnson, unless he's out. But DeSean Jackson shows up against the Cowboys. And the one problem the Cowboys have is stopping speedy wide receivers who go deep. And that's all he has to do is catch one 60-yard bomb, and he's put up a good game for you. So you got to, you know, so DeSean Jackson is one of those. This is where you make those decisions you don't normally make, RC. You're fighting for a playoff. You have the option to win this game by making the right calls. And I think there's a lot more upside to DeSean Jackson than there is over Brandon Cooks. And I certainly think there's a lot more upside for DeSean Jackson over, say, C.J. Anderson. So in the way I'm looking at it, I would definitely have Jackson in there. And, you know, if you have any options, you know, against Anderson, I would just, you know, say cut him loose, you know, and not cut him loose from your team, but from your starting lineup. And then Langford, if he's sharing time, do you really want to take that chance? I mean, what if Forte comes out and Forte's really just running the ball well? They're just going to keep Langford, whether or not Forte's going to be a Bear next year or not, which I don't think he is going to be a Chicago Bear next year. In fact, I think he'll be a Dallas Cowboy next year. But if he's not a Bear next year, they're going to want to showcase Langford. So, you know, and I think he will get I think he'll get 12 to 15 touches, but it's risky. So I would go with what you got in there. You got Allen in there, you got McFadden, and then I would go with the plethora of wide receivers and just roll.
Okay. Yeah, so I got time to make that decision. But, yeah, for now I think I set it at three running backs, but yeah, I'm going to see what happens with Calvin Johnson.
I mean, it's kind of odd that finally in week 12, Matthew Stafford figured out that I just should throw the ball to Johnson and let him, you know, go up and catch it. Isn't that amazing how he finally figured it out?
Well, I think the you know, obviously with Detroit, they've gone through some coaching changes, and I think, you know, the latest offensive coordinator, you know, definitely has been a positive improvement. But there was also something that helped, you know, let's face it, Johnson's, you know, pushing 30 now, and he may be 30 already. And, you know, so he doesn't have that freakish speed like he had a couple of years ago. And but he was definitely helped by the fact that, first of all, the Eagles are just horrible, and then they lost a cornerback, and you know, there was really a second string guy trying to cover, you know, the probable future Hall of Famer. So that definitely helped him in that game. He's not going to have that luxury, I'm sure, this week.
No, I mean, Calvin Johnson, I mean, we had this discussion in semi-disagreement, or semi-argument, where I said that Calvin Johnson is not a number two draft pick, and he's a guy I'm not going to put on my team because I just don't feel like going through the seesaw that is the season that, you know, for Calvin Johnson. But it wasn't even a seesaw this year. It was just awful almost every week until he had that nice breakout game. Did he catch 3 touchdowns on Thanksgiving? Is that what he caught?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, and it took him to week 13 to really have that breakout. And I don't even know his stats offhand, but he probably has, what, about 5 touchdowns after that week? So, you know, that's definitely not worthy of a second-round draft pick. But I don't believe it's really all his fault. I think it's obviously Stafford's fault because it's not like Stafford's throwing 30 touchdowns to other wide receivers. And it's Calvin Johnson is the problem. It's similar to where people think James Jones is the problem in Green Bay. But, I mean, he's having problems. You know, Aaron Rodgers is having problems throwing anybody in Green Bay, let alone James Jones. So, you know, this is a quarterback issue right now between, you know, some of these wide receiver situations where they've gone poorly, and that's what it is for Calvin Johnson. So you're just going to have to – I mean, there's a reason why your team is, you know, banking for the last spot. It's because you have a lot of these, I mean, players where, you know, I mean, this is just the team you ended up with. Obviously, I'm sure you've had injuries like everybody else, where you have to suffer. Let me ask you this. Why are you not liking Shane Vereen? Why is he not a consideration for you?
You just, I mean, this does seem like one of those, well, yeah, I mean, let's face it. Tom Coughlin is mixing in 4 different running backs, you know. So, but between Jennings, Vereen, Andre Williams, and then Darkwa, it's, you know, that's just too many running backs to be able to really depend on somebody. This does seem like a good spot for Vereen, so I understand your point because, you know, the Jets are so tough on the run that Jennings is going to do probably nothing, as Williams even worse, and then Darko is not going to find any space either. So this really seems like one of those games where, you know, you're really best with Vereen because of his versatility. He can hurt you on screen passes. And you know, the Jets have actually they've only allowed 1 rushing touchdown to a running back all year. They've allowed 4 receiving touchdowns to running backs. So, yeah, if you have to start Vereen this week, I mean, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, no, I like Vereen only because, you know, from the passing game standpoint, I mean, if the Jets do what they do best and lock down the tight end and the wide receivers, there's going to be a lot of dump-off passes. And you're absolutely right. They're going to hammer. I mean, the running game of the Giants is a joke. I mean, they don't really have any really super effective running back. I mean, I thought Darkwell was going to come out and maybe pound it because he reminds me so much of Christian Okoye, the way he ran. And then he just hurt himself, and from there he's been really a no-show. So I would look to, you know, say seeing a lot of Shane Vereen out there, and, you know, in single back sets where he just comes out and Eli Manning drops the ball to him, you know, especially to keep their team on the field against that tough defense. So I got to be honest with you. I would take Vereen over Allen. I would honestly do that. I mean, sometimes you got to make that risky decision. It is a risky one, but, you know, it's not like the Ravens are in that much better of a situation. I mean, they're going on the road to the Dolphins, whose defense is very good. It just underplays sometimes. It struggles at times, but does play very well. And you're talking about they got Schaub in there, who's just – she's freaking Schaub. I mean, he's not somebody you want to, you know, put a lot of love into. And they have that wide receiver core who's hit or miss on any single one of them. And then now they have, Buck Allen in there. So I would definitely, you know, stay with Shane Vereen and then go with those guys, those other 4 receivers you have. You know, it's just – that's my feeling. Not always right, RC, but that's my feeling. All right. Let's discuss
one
more matchup. Here's a great one that I have to deal with. Here's a great one. In the Money League, the home league as we like to call it, where – you have been having a great season. You took over the division from me. Once I lost Devontae Freeman 2 weeks in a row, my team went down, and I just have not been able to recover. So now I'm in one of those situations where not only do I need your help, but I need to win, or I won't make the playoffs. So I need you to beat the team called the Broncos, who I beat them about 3 weeks ago. I beat them. And so I have the tiebreaker against them. They're 7-5. You're 8-4. So I need you to beat them. So first of all, will you do that for me, please?
I am trying my best. I mean, I think I've got a pretty good lineup. I was able to actually make two pickups this week, which I was surprised. I was able to pick up David Johnson, who I've loved all year, and now, you know, now is the time. Of course, you know, player like this, what I could see happening. You know how it's been for David Johnson, where, you know, he's been basically playing among three, you know, a trio of running backs. And it just seems like, even though in most weeks he got very limited touches, he would always seem to be able to do something with it. And now you just have to wonder now, and it is a tough matchup against St. Louis, you just have to wonder where, you know, now that he's got the backfield pretty much all to himself, if, you know, he's going to end up doing nothing. And, you know, that's sometimes the way it goes. Now, but of course, that's just a, you know, short-term consideration. But I think longer term, you know, I think based on what he's been able to do so far, I think the future's pretty bright for David Johnson. I was surprised I was able to pick him up, so I'm definitely starting him this week.
No, you're definitely one of the favorites in this league. I mean, and you did it really riding the back of a great wide receiver core and running back core. I mean, you got Amari Cooper, who's been phenomenal. Obviously, Julio Jones, and then of course Mike Evans. So you went with a lot of youth between Evans and Cooper, and you just put together just a stellar wide receiver core. I mean, I'm honored to see that really wide receiver core. It makes me proud. But then you were able to back it up with some of your keepers. It's like, this is a two-team keeper league, which you kept LeSean McCoy. And then you were able to get Todd Gurley, who's been a little sluggish lately, but he had those breakout games, and you have him going up against Arizona. So tough matchup for Gurley. So the beauty of Johnson is he's your flex in this situation. And so I'm looking at your other options, and I was just going to ask you, since he's a flex, for example, let's talk about two players in particular here. Why wouldn't you not bench, especially against a tough defense on the road, why would you not take Johnson out of your lineup for, say, Yeldon or Decker? I'm looking at Dante Moncrief, but I think I'm good with Johnson over Moncrief, but maybe I am. And let's just throw that in there, because Moncrief is against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh can't stop anything. So you got Moncrief, Decker, and Carr, Yeldon, who all pretty much put up, they don't put up more points than Johnson. So, at least I'm talking about on the projection scale. So why is it you don't like any of those three guys over Johnson?
It's not that I don't like them. I mean, this is definitely like one of those teams where my bench could outscore my starters or the starters of like any other team, you know? So, you know, I really like everyone on my bench. It's just that, you know, you just have to decide between these guys. And I just feel with David Johnson finally getting a shot, you know, granted, I understand your point. He's riskier than like a Decker who's, you know, just been, you know, pretty much consistent all year. But, you know, I just like the upside of Johnson. And Yahoo kind of agrees. I mean, they're not that it really means that much, but they're projecting almost 16 points out of Johnson despite the tough matchup.
Absolutely. And really quickly, you know, just to give a note, because I know Ben Roethlisberger got beat up last week, you know, in another fantastic game. I mean, he just put up really good games whenever he's been in. I mean, I think the worst game he had was against St. Louis. What is the science for Ben Roethlisberger? I know he's just probable, but he did take a pretty hard hit on his arm, I believe, last week. What's going on? No, I'm sorry, the concussion he had. He's going through the concussion protocol.
Yeah, he actually didn't he pull himself out of the game? I think he pulled himself out of the game. I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, that's something where you just want to, you know, make sure you keep on top of it. But, you know, I'll tell you what, Roethlisberger to me has been so impressive this year. The official word that he has been cleared to practice, and he was practicing today. He does remain the protocol, but it's looking, you know, the signs are pointing up that he's going to make it. And if he does, you absolutely have to start him. You know, the most impressive Roethlisberger moment this year, of course, was that game where Landry Jones got knocked out. Roethlisberger wasn't really even supposed to dress, and yet he came in the game and he just, like, basically revived that offense single-handedly. That was that game where Antonio Brown, you know, what he had, ended the day with like 270 yards or something crazy. So Roethlisberger is one of those guys where if he's healthy, you got to stick him in over, you know, over anybody.
Well, absolutely. And it wasn't even Roethlisberger I was that concerned about. It's that wide receiving crew that really is so impacted by the loss of Roethlisberger. And that takes us over to my matchups, because that's where I get affected by in this league. Let me go back to that. I have it open up here. And, of course, I have Martavis Bryant, who's been outstanding for me. Now, he also has he's been dealing with a little bit of injury that have been bothering him the last couple of weeks, I think it's a hip injury that he's had. But I think he'll be fine. So if you're a Martavis Bryant owner, he's without a doubt going to be in this game. Now, this looks like a fantastic matchup for him, going against the Indianapolis Colts. He's one of the most electric wide receivers out there. I mean, basically, he makes one little move, and he's going to be down the field 70 yards for a touchdown. He had a great lead. I think he ran a touchdown in on a reverse last week. So that's one of my wide receivers. And I'll just go over this team with you. Here's the matchup I have, and then we'll wrap up the show after this. This is a must-win. So if you beat Broncos and I beat the GOAT, greatest of all time, what GOAT stands for, I'll be in the playoffs. I'll actually make the playoffs as the number six seed. Of course, I got Aaron Rodgers. He's got Andy Dalton. You know, there you go. That's going to be whatever it's going to be. I have no idea either way. My wide receiving crew is Bryant, Cooks, and T.Y. Hilton. But now I'm worried about Cooks in this matchup. I really am. I mean, he's so hit or miss. So on my bench, which I've managed to actually put together some fantastic wide receivers. This is one of those leagues where wide receivers are just getting beat up but I have James Jones, Devin Funchess, and Vincent Jackson, who I can put in place of Brandon Cooks. Now, so the question to you is, would you consider starting any of those guys over Brandon Cooks? Remember, he's going to be in New Orleans, so he's going to be on his own home turf, where he plays well at. It's not a joke about Brandon Cooks. He does well at home, but he's going to be going against that vicious Carolina defense. So what would you consider starting any of those three guys over him?
No. I would stick with Cooks, to be honest with you. I like the way you're set up here, I think. So, James, yeah, so your question is really James Jones over Cooks. You know, it is, like you're saying, you know, the playing against Carolina is going to be a tough matchup, but James Jones is just not trustworthy enough. I think you got to stick with Cooks.
And what about Vincent Jackson against Atlanta? I mean, that seems to dispel to me. That's going to be one of those games that could very well be because it's a division game where they can just be, you know, throwing touchdowns all day. You can see a lot of Jones, a lot of Jackson, a lot of Evans in this game. Obviously, Freeman, who I have in this game, should see a lot of action in the passing game. Is this a game you see like I do, where you got to have a feeling it's going to be one of those 38 to 35, 42 to 38 type games, or even maybe not even that high for both teams? Maybe Atlanta pulled it out 42 to 24. But is this one of those games where maybe it's worthwhile to start a Vincent Jackson?
You know, sure. It really is so close. But once again, I think, you know, the upside with Cooks is really too good to pass up. The other thing, Cooks has been, you know, he had that streak where he was like, he scored a couple, he had a couple of multi-touchdown games. You know, to begin November, he's been getting an average of, you know, around 8 to 10 targets a game. Vincent Jackson, you know, has been an injury risk. You know, he's getting a little bit older. It's a little bit alarming that last week he had 10 targets and only could could haul in four of them. He ended the day okay. But obviously for the entire month of November, he's been very risky, missed the first 3 weeks of the month, came back, was able to score a touchdown. He's trending, I agree with Yahoo, trending at about 9 points, where Cooks, and that pretty much is almost his ceiling, I think, where Cooks' ceiling is really up to 20, depending how things break. I think in this case where, now, you're favored by a fairly large amount. He's got, I think the edge that you have, definitely tight end, Richard Rodgers, who he's starting. I don't think he can really depend on anything there. He's starting Ware from Kansas City. West is coming back this week, so Ware is probably not going to do that well. You're taking a shot with Funchess, which is interesting.
Well, the question really is no longer – well, actually, I just had Funchess since last week. The question is no longer about Cooks. Now the question is I have Funchess in my –
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, I see. So I gotcha. So, yeah, I would definitely start either Jones, Jackson. Yeah, Jones or Jackson over Funchess without question. Funchess, you cannot rely on. Yeah,
and you know
definitely
what?
Jones.
Something
or,
we have to keep something in perspective here. The Panthers are undefeated. And every undefeated team gets, and I just have been blanking out on this, but every undefeated team really gets hit hard as they get later in the season, and especially against division foes, and especially against division foes on the road. So they're going up against a division foe on the road, with a veteran quarterback who still had a win. He's had a very bad year. I'm not going to lie. Drew Brees had a bad year. But could this be the game where they get upset? And if it is, that has to bode well for Drew Brees owners and Mark Ingram and Brandon Cooks and the rest of the crew there.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, given how unpredictable this league has become, I would not be shocked if New Orleans puts it all together and basically has a, offensive outburst and possibly even beats Carolina. I mean, you cannot rule that out. Odds are against it, of course, but as far as like Funchess goes, he's taking longer than expected to really come around. And, with a player like this, there's always an open question as to whether or not they're ever going to really turn into anything that was expected of them, when they drafted him. He certainly is not Kelvin Benjamin, even though he kind of fits, the same physical mold and all that. And the bottom line are the results, and the results are very sketchy, where week to week, he'll give you like a glimmer of hope and then he'll disappear for like an entire quarter. So definitely in this case, regardless of how that game turns out, and certainly like you're saying, New Orleans has a huge incentive to try to knock Carolina off. Regardless of that, I think you got to go with the veterans, one of the veterans here, because they're going to probably be more dependable. And I would prefer Vincent Jackson over Jones. If he's healthy, you just got to keep an eye on that.
No, I'm going to keep an eye on it because I know he has a knee issue. And I believe he didn't practice today, but I think that's just, giving him a day off. I mean he is, he's a veteran. That's what they even say on the news report. So they do that often. I mean, For the love of God, I don't think Romo practiced until Saturday when he was playing. And then the final question I have for this team is I've been riding it out with Duke Johnson. I really like Duke Johnson. I mean, I just wish he could be a more effective running back, and I do kind of blame that system because, nobody can run in that system, so clearly there's issues on the line there, and there is obviously issues with the offensive coordinator. Of that being said, I got Duke Johnson and Melvin Gordon. Now, Melvin Gordon has spent most of my time that I have owned him on the bench. I don't really like Melvin Gordon this week because he has a tough matchup against Denver. But do you believe that staying with Duke Johnson is the correct move that I am doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Even though they both have tough matchups, at least with Duke Johnson – he has a definite role in the offense, maybe even more than that. He was definitely more effective running the ball last week over Crowell. You could probably say that has been the case for pretty much the entire year, where Crowell has just been a total washout. Last week he got 7 carries. You can kind of expect that to cap off at about 10. He's really never going to get more than 10 carries. This game does play into Johnson's favor, where more likely than not they're going to get blown out. So they're starting Austin Davis at quarterback against a very tough defense. I can't see that going very well. This is going to be a play-from-behind situation, and that really just favors Duke Johnson a great deal, because they're going to need him to be on there as maybe like the last quarter is going to be treated as like all passing downs. So I would definitely stick with Johnson here. I like Gordon, but, you know, it obviously hasn't happened this year. Too many injuries on the offensive line. We don't know what kind of player he's going to turn into, but right now he's just too risky.
Yeah, and I hope he, doesn't really play well the rest of the year, for sake of next year's draft, because he's a guy that's going to fall in a lot of drafts now. I mean, he's likely not going to be drafted until, I'm just trying to throw, fart in the wind here, but I would say he could be 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th round draft pick next year, and I think it's going to be a steal.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's the kind of guy that's he might be next year's Devontae Freeman. But, the other thing to consider is that he also might be a Monty Ball, because when you look at Gordon's running style, and it may be a little bit unfair to compare those guys, because Ball had the luxury of a great offensive line, and Gordon does not have that luxury. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. So I'm a little bit higher on Gordon as future prospects, but you're right. Next year, if you can get him in like the 8th round, you definitely got to grab him and take the chance.
Absolutely. All right, RC. Well, it was a great show. We got to put a little wrap on it before Blog Talk puts their wrap on it. Good luck this week. Like I said, I hope you make the playoffs in the Pirate League. I believe I'm out of it in that one. By the way, that was one where, fair is fair. Okay. I had 2 outstanding running backs, Le'Veon Bell and I had another one. I'm blanking on who it was, whoever it was, and they both went out for the year. So, that was one of the very few leagues I had a dominant running back crew. And then I had a third one, and I lost him for the year. And I just gave up. I think I lost 3 running backs for the season. I don't think I could figure out who that was, who those other 2 running backs were, but whomever they were, let me take a look and see if I could – I don't believe we have – do we have the draft in here?
Yeah, you definitely got screwed. I can see what that was. That's the worst way to really have the season kind of unfold too, where because you started off really good, lost those guys, and then you don't have the good waiver position because, you're a high seed. And, basically that's what happens.
Lost Ahmad Bradshaw, who I picked up. I lost him for the year, who was a decent pickup. But, it's one of those years. I won the Bum Phillips League last year. I did not win this league.
So here's your draft. Le'Veon Bell, first round pick, can't argue with that. You also picked Joseph Randall, who in the 5th round, which was also a very good pick, until basically that whole situation collapsed. You lost basically your top 2 running backs.
Yeah, that was the other one. It was him. And then I lost, Ahmad Bradshaw this week. And there was another one I had picked up who went down as well. But either way, I'm
– Oh, by the way, you drafted D'Angelo Williams, but I think you might have dropped him.
Yeah, I cut him. I cut him after – week 3 or 4, and, because I had Le'Veon Bell, and
right.
That didn't work out very
as
well.
You should
I should have kept him.
I
were telling everybody, walk away from him.
I wouldn't even – I did not touch him in any leagues this year, And obviously that was a huge mistake because he's turned out to be just exceptional, but oh well.
You never know. Yeah, you can't predict that kind of stuff. But either way, we're all good. I will. We'll talk next week, and we'll see if I make the playoffs in those two leagues that I'm on the edge, and we'll see if you made the playoffs in the one league where you're on the edge.
Okay, man. All right, have a great week.
All right, you too.
Okay.